Now is the time to set your heart on listening to the Dhamma with a peaceful mind. Because this listening to the Dhamma, when we have the time and opportunity, it's a great blessing in our life. Because we listen to the Dhamma, and while we listen, we practice making the mind peaceful at the same time. In this way, the mind becomes bright, collected in samadhi. For instance, this morning we had the opportunity to listen to the Dhamma of Venerable Ajahn Anand. Perhaps this gave rise to rapture, faith, and peacefulness, whether a lot or a little. So we listen well, we listen intently with a peaceful mind, and we get some samadhi, some wisdom arising. So we train and practice for this 9-day period. We have effort to have mindfulness with the body. We practice and train the mind to not think outside the body, but to have mindfulness with the body. So in the beginning, we have the time and opportunity to sit meditation, to walk meditation. But one who hasn't trained like this before, they won't know the way or the method of sitting meditation or the method of practicing in any posture. So for instance, we come to sit meditation, we put the right leg on top of the left, make the body straight and upright, the right hand on top of the left hand, or we can sit with our legs to one side or the other. So we sit in meditation like this. If we have some physical issues, we can sit in a chair. So we bring the mind to have mindfulness, to know the breath, as it goes in and out. Because this breath is one of the meditation objects, one of the kamatana. And it's a meditation object that's suitable for all character types. It's the crown meditation object. So we have mindfulness with the breath, and that's our object of recollection. And so this is a meditation object that's been used for a very long time in many different places. It's back to the time of Venerable Ajahn Chah and before that as well, knowing the breath. So in the beginning, we know the breath as it goes in, and we make the breath just right, not to control it to be coarser, finer, longer, shorter. So the breath goes in, and we know it at the beginning, middle, and end. Beginning of the breath, we can know at the end of the nose, the middle of the breath, at the heart, chest area, the end of the in-breath at the navel or stomach area. And then when we breathe out, the beginning of the out-breath we know at the navel, the middle of the out-breath we know at the heart, and the end of the out-breath we know at the end of the nose. So we know at these three different places. And if we do this and we're thinking all over the place, then with the in-breath we recite Bhut, and on the out-breath, Do. So we come back to the beginning to be with the breath in these three places, or to have Bhut with the in-breath and Do with the out-breath. So we train in this way. And it's normal that sometimes the mind is distracted and busy, thinking here and there, past and future, thinking about all kinds of things. So we set the mind to be peaceful and collected with samadhi, to be in a wholesome state. And then we have these hindrances which cover over the mind to make the mind not peaceful. So therefore we train the mind to have continuous mindfulness, have mindfulness with the breath, with recollecting Bhutto, to train the mind not to think here or there. We can recollect what Venerable Ajahn Chah taught, that when the mind is thinking like this, we stop the breathing. Then we breathe in very deeply, until there's no more room for the air to go in. Then we breathe out gently, slowly. We do this 3 times to bring the mind to be firm and well established. And then we start to look at the breath anew looking at the breath in the way that was just described. So we start again like this. When the mind's busy and distracted, we need to have continuous mindfulness. So we train like this in an ongoing way. We train continuously, bit by bit. And we do it all the time, throughout all the different parts of the day or activities. We practice during the day and at night, before sleeping. Before we go to sleep, we can train like this for 10 or 15 minutes, train the mind to be mindful of the breath, mindful of our meditation object. In this way, the mind gradually becomes more and more peaceful. And how does it become peaceful? Well, it thinks less. We know the breath at these 3 places, and we reach the point where there's no need to do that anymore. The breath becomes more subtle. And at this point, we can know the breath, for instance, just at the end of the nose only. So we have knowing there, we have mindfulness there. We practice like this to observe. We can know the breath. We train the mind not to think here or there, thinking of the past, thinking of the future. And in this way, the mind feels light and at ease, gathered and peaceful. Sometimes we're sitting meditation and we're aware that the body is light, the body feels firm and solid. We have rapture and happiness arise, and it's a kind of lightness and ease of body and mind that we haven't experienced before. And this comes from the practice of meditation. It's a fruit or benefit of meditation. So we bring the mind to be peaceful, and sometimes the meditation word or the breath disappear of their own accord. So at this point, there's no need to be surprised. You don't think that you will die. It's just that the breath is more subtle. The mind is more subtle. So the breath is subtle to the point where the mind isn't able to know it. So you can just know the mind itself. Have knowing with the mind that's bright, light, and at ease, and peaceful. So we practice like this for a period. The mind's peaceful, becomes gathered. And then at some point, the mind exits from that peaceful state and thoughts start to arise. So at this point, we use that samadhi, that gathered and peaceful mind, to contemplate conditioned formations like the body, to know and see them according to the truth. For instance, we can contemplate the 32 parts of the body that we know already. We contemplate any part of the body. Could be the hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, and skin. Nails, teeth, hair of the body, hair of the head. So we contemplate with a peaceful mind. And in all of this, it all comes to the same point, to understand the body as 4 natural elements of earth, air, fire, and water, that which we habitually cling to as self, as me and mine. So the mind is peaceful, and we contemplate these 4 elements to bring the mind to emptiness, to see the body as not self, to abandon the Sakkaya Ditti, the personality view. We cling to the body less as self, and give rise to clear understanding, no longer clinging to the body as me, mine, I, no longer clinging to the body as self. So this is a fruit of samadhi. So mind with samadhi, mind that's peaceful, that we can contemplate in this way. And so we take care of our virtue as well, to make our activities of body, speech, and mind to be at a normal level, to a level that's not agitating or hot. Then we come to practice and sit meditation. So this is the way to practice. We sit in the meditation posture. We understand in the beginning that we can't sit all day and all night continuously because the mind's not yet stable, the peacefulness isn't yet well established. We can sit for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, or an hour, depending on our strength and energy. Then we exit from that sitting posture, and we change postures to the walking meditation posture. And so when we change posture, we keep our mind with the meditation object. As we're changing posture, we keep the mind with Buddha. We have mindfulness right there. So that in this way, the mind doesn't change along with the body. The body's changing posture, but the mind stays stable. So we go from sitting to the walking posture. And we keep the mind peaceful and stable. So whether we're sitting or walking, it's the same training of the mind. It's the same practice and training in samadhi. So we see the monks walking on the walking meditation path, reaching the end of the path, the right hand is over the left hand, and we establish our mindfulness well to recollect the qualities of the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. And then we start walking, and if we can, we pick a path that's about 20 or 25 steps long, depending on our location. And we set the mind to have mindfulness with the steps, the right foot boot, the left foot do, or the left foot boot and the right foot do. So we have mindfulness with the activity of walking. And we can recite the meditation word internally in the mind. And we know when we're at the beginning of the path, the middle of the path, the end of the path. So we know it. And at the end of the path, we stop, establish mindfulness well. We put the right hand over the left. We turn around and we start again. Our right foot boot, left foot do. And depending on how much time we have available, we can do this for 30 or 60 minutes. And we come back to sitting meditation. So when we're doing walking meditation, we make effort not to think here and there, but have effort to know Buddha, to reduce the thinking as we walk. And if our thinking increases as we walk, then we set a firm intent to have mindfulness, to be with Buddha, to be with the walking. Then when we come to sit, then we have mindfulness and cultivate a peaceful mind. And sometimes when we do walking meditation, the body can feel very light and at ease. It's not tired or sore. And one can walk all night in this way, become peaceful. And sometimes if we are sore or tired, then when the mind becomes peaceful, that soreness and tiredness can disappear. So this is a benefit of walking meditation. It's one method to bring the mind to peace and firm establishment. And then once we're done with the walking posture, we can come to sit again and practice sitting meditation as previously explained. So we do sitting meditation, walking meditation, we do the chores that we do. We have mindfulness with the meditation word, with Buddha. And sometimes we try to be mindful of the bodily movements, but sometimes the body's moving too quickly, like sweeping or mopping and so on. So we need to be with Buddha as well. Whatever we do, whatever posture or work, we go with Buddha. So in the beginning, we train and practice like this. And if we haven't trained before, then whatever sense impressions come into contact with the mind's not able to know them in time. So we keep training to walk meditation, sit meditation, in order to know sense impressions or aramana, to know them as they arise. For instance, the sounds contact the ear, the flavors contact the tongue, the sights contact the eye, bodily sensations contact the body, smell contacts the nose, mind objects contact the mind. So we train and practice. For instance, when we're on retreat like this, we have effort to be mindful, to know the six sense objects as they arise. And we notice liking or disliking arise. We train that there's no need to cling to that liking or disliking, but we have knowing with it in order to not be attracted or averse to these sense impressions. And in this way, samadhi can arise, brightness arises, to know and see the Dhamma. So knowing and seeing the Dhamma, that seeing these sense impressions arise, stay for a while and cease. We see that whatever clinging or attachment we have, and that suffering right there, that's dukkha. So this is the Dhamma teaching that's always correct, it's never wrong. There's three different Dhamma teachings that Venerable Ajahn Chah would often teach, that the Buddha taught, these three practices that are never wrong, which is to say restraint of the senses, restraint of the six senses, moderation in food, not eating too much or too little, but knowing the right amount of food, and then devotion to wakefulness, to have an appropriate amount of effort, whether during the day or at night, and to rest the right amount. For one with samadhi, then resting 4 hours is enough. And for those with less samadhi, then 5 to 6 hours, combining rest during the day and night should be no more than 6 hours. So this is devotion to wakefulness. So we see we have this external posture of sitting or walking, but the true effort is in the mind. The effort to have mindfulness, or sati, this quality of recollection, the effort to have sampajanya, or clear awareness, to have these qualities of mindfulness and clear awareness all the time. As we see that the body is sitting or walking, but if we're sitting and walking without mindfulness and clear awareness, then we're not actually having effort. We're just sitting and walking normally. So we enter the retreat, we need to have continuous mindfulness, to have clear awareness, sampajanya. So we have mindfulness and clear awareness. And when we have mindfulness and clear awareness, then samadhi arises by itself from the continuous mindfulness. So we have samadhi well established. And in this way, we can know sense impressions as they arise. And when we know sense impressions as they arise, we see that these sense impressions are moods that make the mind sad, or they're an unwholesome type of mind state. We don't act on them, but we have patient endurance, we have virtue. We have virtue to abandon that which is unwholesome, and we practice samadhi. Cultivate the peaceful mind. And sometimes we're peaceful, sometimes we're not. That's normal. And sometimes the mind is proliferating and busy, meeting with different obstacles. And then we learn from the great masters that we've heard from that they've overcome all these same obstacles themselves in their own practice. So we hear that and we set our hearts to follow in their footsteps, to practice following them. It's not that after just 2 or 3 days that we realize one-pointed samadhi already. that would be something that's difficult to do if we haven't practiced before. So for instance, before the retreat started, if we've been practicing all the time before the retreat, then when we come to the retreat, then our practice is continuous in that way. The mind becomes more peaceful, more firmly established. But if we just let the mind go from the morning to the evening, and the mind doesn't have any mindfulness, then when we come to sit meditation in the evening, it's difficult to do. We have to fight with all these moods and sense impressions. The mind is busy and distracted. So we have effort. We set our hearts. We have this firm intent. We have the effort to bring the mind to samadhi. We see that this samadhi is a great deal of happiness. There's the happiness that's lokuttara, beyond the world, and the happiness that's lokiya, or of the world. And this type of happiness that's worldly relies on external things. But this other kind of happiness, this happiness beyond the world, it starts with happiness from mindfulness and wisdom, from virtue, collectedness and wisdom. So we contemplate various objects of attention, and we know them according to truth. We don't cling to the various sense impressions. This is the mind giving rise to wisdom. This leads us to the highest happiness, the happiness that arises from collectedness and wisdom, that arises from what we've practiced, like on this retreat. So may you set your hearts on this. May you be intent. But don't be too intent. Don't be too overly intent, but make it just right to have mindfulness, do the sitting meditation, knowing the breath, being with the meditation word bhuto, doing the walking meditation, for instance, getting up to go to the bathroom, bring bhuto with you as well. Have mindfulness as well. And as you return with mindfulness, then you come to sit meditation, and it's continuous. So may you practice like this. And then when you exit from the formal sitting and walking meditation, may you speak little. If one speaks a lot, then it's difficult to have the mind that's peaceful and mindful. So when we speak little, then firm mindfulness can arise. And we have mindfulness with our rest periods as well. And this way our practice is continuous. We have mindfulness with all the postures of sitting, standing, walking, and lying down. So when we go to rest, we can lie on our right side. We have mindfulness with the in and out breath. We have mindfulness with the posture of the body. We can be aware that the body is merely a skeleton or a pile of bones. We know that it's lying down. And this way the mind doesn't go out. We have mindfulness with the breath, with bhuto. And when we have mindfulness like this, then we wake up feeling refreshed. We go to sit meditation. The mindfulness is continuous. We go to the bathroom. We have mindfulness as we do that, mindfulness with the body, mindfulness with doing chores. So we have knowing and mindfulness with the meditation word. We sit meditation, it's continuous, it's all connected together so that our practice, our mindfulness is continuous and connected. And in this way, we can know and see the Dhamma. Because to know and see the Dhamma of the fully self-awakened Buddha, it relies on effort to practice, to bring the mind to knowing and understanding. It starts with the citta maya panya, to sutta maya panya, to bhavana maya panya. And this bhavana maya panya, it's the wisdom that arises from the practice of samadhi and wisdom. And then we contemplate to see the body according to truth. So we've heard that in the Buddhist time, there were many individuals, monastic and laity, male and female, on their first listening to the Buddha teach, they realized stream entry, realized arahantship. And so when the Buddha taught like this, their minds would have been listening with samadhi. Their minds gather together, and they were able to understand the Dhamma that the Buddha taught. So therefore we see that listening to Dhamma has great, incredible value for the mind, for our life, for our practice. So Venerable Ajahn Ananda has taught that when Venerable Ajahn Ananda teaches, we might not remember everything that he says, but we listen with a peaceful mind. And having listened with a peaceful mind, then when we do meet with a mood or sense impression later on, then we're able to contemplate it. We're able to contemplate it, and the Dhamma of the great master that we've heard before arises in the mind. Mindfulness arises. And this way we don't cling, but we see according to truth. For instance, like Venerable Ajahn Chah would teach that when we meet with a sense impression or mood, whether happiness or unhappiness, pleasurable or painful, liking or disliking, we teach the mind right there that it's unstable, it's unsure. And if the mind doesn't accept that or doesn't see that, we just keep teaching the mind that it's unstable, it's unsure. Just this much, we do just this much. And in this way, the mind can not cling. The mind can stop clinging because the mind sees everything as unstable and unsure and sees that clinging to anything is suffering because everything is unstable and unsure and not self. So clinging is suffering. So clinging to pleasant things, when pleasant things are unsure, unstable, we say, well, is there happiness or is there pleasure? Well, yes, there is, like the pleasure of samadhi. And that we also teach the mind that it's unstable, unsure, so that the mind doesn't get lost in it. And then when it changes, we see it really is unsure and unstable in truth. And in this way, vipassana, clear seeing, wisdom arises. We see the truth of change. So we know bhuto, we know the breath. These are samatha kamatana, tranquility, meditation objects that bring the mind to peace and collectedness, that develop the mind to reach wisdom. So we start with faith. We set our hearts on the practice. We may feel that it's hard to find the time. So the fact that we have this opportunity now, it's a great blessing in our life. And you have a body that's strong enough to practice, and you're still alive, you still have the breath. So therefore you need to set your heart on the practice. The fact that you have this opportunity is a great merit. It's a great boon. So if we didn't have the breath, we wouldn't be able to sit and walk meditation. So right now we have the breath, we have a strong body. So may you practice wholeheartedly. May you practice to the utmost, to the best of your ability, to the fullest that you can do, to make mindfulness well established and continuous, to be with bhuto. If you think a lot, then recite bhuto a lot. Recite bhuto, or you can recite itipiso, svakato, supatipanno, or you can be with the breath to bring the mind to not thinking. So this is the way, this is the path. So may you set your heart on this practice. There's no other path. It's just this path of virtue, collectedness, and wisdom, sila, samadhi, panya. You can also say dana, sila, bhavana, generosity, virtue, and meditation. So may you set your hearts on this. May you apply firm effort, firm intent to your practice. So hopefully now you understand the method of sitting and walking meditation. And if you understood it already, may you understand it more deeply now. So now that you understand it, what you need to do is to actually do it, to actually do the sitting meditation, to do the walking meditation, and to do it often, to have mindfulness, to have buto all the time, to bring the mind to peaceful samadhi, to collectedness bit by bit. And then we can sit and walk for 1, 2, 3 hours. And we walk and sit with mindfulness, with buto, to bring the mind to be firm and stable. In this way, we can observe a miracle arise in the mind. Rapture arises, faith arises, effort and energy arise, peacefulness and wisdom arise. And this gives the mind more strength and energy to continue practicing. So this is the way to practice. And you have the time and opportunity to seek out, to train in samadhi, to bring about the happiness of samadhi, which is a happiness that's greater than other types of happiness. And this leads to the best happiness, the highest happiness of all, the happiness of Nibbana, which is the saying, there's no higher happiness than peace. And so this highest happiness of Nibbana, it arises from this very practice that leads to seeing and knowing the Dhamma. And the mind is the Dhamma, understands Dhamma, understands what the Buddha taught. So may you contemplate like this. The Dhamma is not anywhere else. It's in this very body and mind. And if you haven't reached this point yet in your own practice, what you have received is the explanation from the great masters. So may you go practice these teachings to bring the mind to see the truth. In this way, the doubts in the Dhamma disappear. And then you can understand the Dhamma that the Buddha and the great masters have taught. And bring the mind to seeing and knowing the truth. So that should be enough Dhamma teaching for now. May you all grow in Dhamma and see the Dhamma.